All right, welcome back, guys. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session. All right, we're here for another one. We just got done with Valentine's Day, so it's what? It's Sunday?
Yes, it is.
Up on Tuesday.
Wrapping up the weekend.
Yeah, I know, right? How was your Valentine's Day? What'd you do?
Well, both of us worked Friday night, so what we had to do was kind of have the day Saturday together. Mm-hmm. So both of us had a good experience. Last time we were in California, we did like a food tour there and got a lot of good, you know, little small bites from different restaurants. We decided to do it here, check it out.
Wait, where'd you do it in California?
In Napa.
Okay, because I did it once in Chicago. It's called the Taste of Chicago. It's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Is it like an actual festival where you like walk around where they have like stand up, pop up tents, or you go like from building to building?
No, it's like a tour guide, and they take you to restaurant, and like they bring like the chef out, and they'll explain, "Oh, this is, you know, my special dish." Blah blah blah.
Like we got real Italian, real quick. It's a me.
I mean, it is Napa. You know, they have like Italian food everywhere. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, if you haven't, you know, tried a lot of restaurants in the area, it's a good way to like try like four or five mm-hmm. of them right off the bat.
Okay, that's actually good. And this is, do they do it as an event, or is it something you could do like any point?
They have special times, like you can do it. We did the happy hour one, so uh-huh. it started at 3, so I think it was more like drink oriented.
Yeah,
but there's other ones that you can do, like the evening one for fine dining, or like the brunch one.
Okay.
Yeah,
so then that's kind of like that's, so you know what's smart about that is you didn't do it on Friday. I know you guys were working.
Yeah,
but the day of Valentine's Day,
overpriced, crowded,
terrible,
fucking madhouse out there.
I have plenty of horror stories about that, but we'll leave it.
What about you guys? What'd you guys do?
So I'm what you call garbage. No, I'm the worst because I don't really subscribe to Valentine's Day in the first place.
Right.
And I told Taylor from the start, I was like, hey, look, we're not celebrating Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day. We are going to do it the following weekend. I've got a plan set up. It's going to be dope. Everything's going to be cool. She comes up to Phoenix. We're hanging out. And the first thing she tells me is, I got you a gift. And I was like, you broke the rule.
Already.
You broke the rules. And she's like, no, it's fine. It's like, I got you a gift. It's not a big deal. It's like, all right, fine. And of course, I was like, okay, well, what is it? She's like, I can't tell you how to open it.
Oh, man.
And I pressure's was like, on. Oh, God. Now I really want to know what it is. And then she's like, but I'm not sure if you're going to like it. I was like, I need you to bring this gift to me right now. This is becoming a problem. So I finally get this gift. And she gets me like the cutest card of all time. And I was telling her, this is literally the cutest card. It's like, has like a picture of us from like a wedding mm-hmm. we went to. Cause it's like, she has like 5 pictures of me ever. Cause I dare anyone to get a picture with me. Cause it never happens. And she like wrote a nice note. I was like, oh, I'm going to put it on my desk. So cute. And I go in there further, and then she got me freaking AirPods.
That's a big deal, bro.
I was super stoked. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you didn't need to do this. And she's like, well, do you not like them? I was like, no, I love them. It's great. And I'm like, I get to be a hype beast. I'm going to walk around the gym, and I'm going to tell people they're too broke to talk to me. I know that meme's like couple years old now, but
you can, you know, breathing up all the poor people air.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, I gotta filter out my ears from all that nonsense, but it was cool. It was like they actually fit, and that was the reason I didn't get them. And I was sitting there, I was just like, well, you broke the rules, and now I'm gonna freaking come at you hard as hell with the niceness next weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it was super cool.
And you gotta buy her dessert, bro. You gotta do the whole course.
Oh, I feel like I want to say what I'm gonna do, but I know she's gonna end up listening to this beforehand. Yeah, she's actually supportive and listens to my stuff, and I was like,
man,
darn.
Nicole's like at least two weeks behind, bro.
Dude, she's caught up, man. Damn. I don't know what happened. She fell behind for a while, and then she's just been working them in, which I appreciate.
Yeah, love the support.
Love it.
Remember, guys, like, subscribe, share, and, you know, you can find us on Instagram, like, or Facebook, they
just,
everywhere.
The two of them are just on multiple devices. Every metric we see is just completely fabricated.
Right.
No, it was good, though. We kind of hung out, ordered in food way too much, and... Oh, you know what? Now that we're talking about ordering and food,
yeah,
our challenge, how is that going for you?
Well, I mean, according to my body scan, it's been going pretty good. Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm going for more of a gaining approach. So I've gained back 2 pounds of muscle that I, you know, had earned in the past, but now I've added to my current
weight.
You're
like so negative about that. Like, it's not, I didn't grow more muscles. These are muscles that were there before. Like, you gained it back.
I gained it back.
Just let yourself have it.
I did. So that, in about like 3 weeks, I would say. And then I also went down 0.5%. So that was good.
Good deal. I have not scanned since the last time, and mm-hmm. I am super afraid to. I've sort of fallen off the wagon a little bit, but I'm, mm-hmm. I think we're at 4 weeks now?
Yeah, 4 weeks on Tuesday.
We're at 4 weeks on Tuesday. I can make a comeback because I went through a move. I had some changes at work, so I've been working a lot later than I usually do. Mm-hmm. And I have not been taking care of myself. And I actually think I might have lost weight, and it's going to be in all the wrong ways. I guarantee it's going to be in the wrong ways. That's the thing. I'm like, I'm feeling pretty light.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I'm like one of those weirdos. If I just don't eat enough, I actually feel kind of good.
Yeah.
But that's not how it should be. So, but the, it's, I think I'm going to have some time to bring it back around. And then I'm starting a new cardio regimen.
What are you going to add?
Well, what I'm going to do is because my my profile for the military came in that says, hey, you are broken. The government recognizes that.
It's official now.
Thank you, Uncle Sam. From here, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be I have 60 days to kind of figure my life out. So I obviously can't just do nothing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out doing pretty much exclusive like treadmill work.
Right.
And I'm going to try and keep it as low impact as possible. So I'm going to try and do 20 to 30 days of that. Because I hate treadmills, but they're really good for buildup. Mm-hmm. And then once I've kind of gotten to the point where I feel comfortable again, I'm going to start going back onto the road and, you know, doing the regular, get back to 2 miles. But we are moving into the ACFT. And for those who don't know, that's just a change in the PT test.
Right.
And it's a changing in events.
Big change.
Big change. And we'll get into that at some point. We're actually, I've been avoiding an army talk on here for a while. But maybe the next one.
I think they'll like it.
You think I like it?
Yeah.
We'll go to the next one. Next one, we're doing army talk. Yes. But moral of the story is the run just got a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be getting, you get an extra 4 minutes on a 2 mile. And for those of you who run, you know that four minutes is eons.
It's a lifetime.
On a 2 mile run.
Oh, yeah.
But that's, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be good. I think the lift and cardio is going to be good. I'm now living by myself, so it's easier for me to like meal prep and have like my kitchen set up the way I like it to. And I have strong positivity for the next 4 weeks.
Now you got challenge. You're all got a good base. You're ready to, you know, spring into it.
I'm basically a drug addict. I've hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
I've hit rock bottom and now
nowhere else to go
here. It's basically just like I'm just gonna start fucking slamming ECA stacks every hour on the hour.
Oh Lord.
Just kidding. Health. My body is a temple.
Heart health.
All right. Speaking of health, we are talking today again. Yes. About bodybuilding.
More refined.
Because we told ourselves this podcast was going to be about fitness, and we somehow find a way to never talk about it.
Occasionally.
No, we always get it in there. But this time I feel like what the powers that be who have actually told us we want, and if you don't comment on the video or the recordings or on our Instagram and tell us what you want to hear, we're never going to be able to do it. But the individuals who have talked to us, they said, you know, they really like it when we get down to those fundamentals and discuss the actual nitty-gritty fitness stuff.
Those details that, you know, a lot of people don't include or know about. Some people don't even care about, but I feel like it's fun to talk.
I think it's fun.
Some awareness.
I feel like it makes us smarter, too. You know, you teach something, it makes you a little better at it.
That's like what I nerd over is this kind of stuff. You know, it's like everyone nerds over something.
Somebody does Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
You talk about hypertrophy.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, let's get started. Let's first, we're talking about bodybuilding, and I think we've talked about this a little before, but let's define terms a little bit.
Okay, so bodybuilding, I mean, it's usually what's classified as hypertrophy training or progressive overload training, which tie into each other. I think they're necessary together. Mm-hmm. But basically what that is when you're gaining to try and increase the size and density of your muscle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the goal of hypertrophy is.
Which I think gets a bad rap more frequently than it should, because a lot of people, especially new people working out, they're always like, well, I want functional fitness.
Right.
And I don't want to get too big. Or every single girl doesn't want to look like that one woman who's an incredibly huge bodybuilder, and every guy wants to look like Brad Pitt from Fight Club.
Right.
No one wants to have any size. But the reality of the situation is, if you can get that big, you worked really hard to get it. Also,
I mean, you ate a lot to get
right?
it. You ate a lot.
And bodybuilding is functional fitness at the end of the day.
Right. Like, it's functional for your goal. You know, so if, trust me, you're not just going to wake up being a 300-pound bodybuilder because, you know, you went and lifted a set, four sets of 10.
Then I quit.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big reason they get this rap is because coaches like to program not for, like, muscle gaining, but for a specific athletic feat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I want to increase my squat to 350 pounds. You know, that's what they train for. They don't train for, I'm trying to make my legs really big.
Which we'll have a powerlifting and a CrossFit episode separately. But I feel like go on YouTube right now and go find like a Fitspo person. They can squat a lot.
Yeah.
Most of those guys, they look their physique. I don't know. Who's a good one? Christian Guzman. Mm-hmm. He squats over, 300, getting close to 400 for reps all the time. And if that's not a lot to you and you don't think that's cool, you're probably a powerlifter. Like
90% of the
people. But it's like, that's there. Really good.
Yeah.
It's if they're strong people. So don't think that bodybuilding is a lot of work
to get there.
Yeah. You just don't slim down to 0% body fat. Congratulations. You're a normal person.
And he's not even like what people consider like a big guy.
He's not. Like, yeah. He's not big at all. Really.
Yeah.
He's a physique guy. So what do you expect?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, sometimes people say like, those big guys, they don't squat. They just do machines, because it's not functional.
Machines are isolation.
Right.
Which
they're playing on a different ball game.
It's just different. It's just not the thing. And the thing is, the free weights and the machines, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think of the machines as a place where the noobs live. It's like, nope, a lot of the really big guys are using machines also because they need isolation. That's what the machines exist for.
Right. Yeah, that's a big part of hypertrophy too, is like, when this is what I hear a lot of the bigger guys and like some of the pro bodybuilders that they say is like, unless you have a muscle that's fully developed, mm-hmm. then trying to isolate is pointless, because it's like, I'm trying to make the outer sweep of my triceps bigger. It's like, why are you trying to do that? Your whole tricep needs to be bigger.
Right.
It's like your triceps in general are too small, not like the outer sweep.
See, this makes me feel so vindicated right now. You know me at the gym, you're always saying like, well, we're looking for this isolation. I was like, I'm looking to move this.
Yeah.
Like, if you want me to hold it differently, I'm there all day for you. But if you're looking to get me to isolate something, if I'm hitting like the general zip code, I'm like, yep, there we go. We got it.
I mean, I'm talking like isolating like individual muscles, we always try and isolate muscle groups, right?
Yeah, I know. It's like if you're trying to hit your whole tenderloin, big deal. Right. But if you're trying to hit like the third muscle fiber from the left, you don't need that.
You're wasting your time, bro.
Can you define hypertrophy for me?
Yes. So there's hypertrophy, if you're going from like the, describe it in your own words, is simply as possible increasing the size or denseness of your muscle fibers themselves.
I want that.
Okay. Yes. That's why we're doing this. Yes. So it's usually broken down into two types. There's myofibrillic and sarcoplasmic hypertrophy. And the first one, myofibrillic, is what people are more concerned with when they're trying to be strong. So like a lot of power lifters have more muscle fibers with this type of hypertrophy than the other one. And it has been described by a lot of people as like the dense, grainy look.
Okay.
Yeah.
When they're like dry.
Yes. When they're dry, or it's, Arnold talks about it in his encyclopedia. He's like, me and Franco had a history of powerlifting before they went bodybuilding, mm-hmm. and they looked denser than everyone else because of that.
So not puffy, but like nice, kind of chiseled a little bit.
I think that comes more from the fat content, mm-hmm. but more of like a, it's not just like that puffy muscle.
Are we talking like more striated? Is that what I'm trying to like get a nail it down?
Yeah, I know. I wish I can help out. I am not trying to be difficult with this.
No, you're good. It's dense. If it's denser, it's denser.
Denser is how I've heard it described. And I mean, I just look at like some of the stronger guys. They just look like gnarly, almost like a wood,
Well, yeah, we all know that. We've seen people who are strong and big, but they just don't look hard.
Those are usually like powerlifters give it a bad example because they're fat too.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. Like, I'm talking about people who are lean,
yeah,
and they just, but there's certain people who just look like they're carved out of stone, like they just look like made of harder stuff,
right?
And maybe that's what we're talking about.
I think so. I think that's what they're getting at when they talked about it. Arnold
looked hard,
right?
When he's flexing,
they call him the Austrian oak,
they got all that oil on and tan, but he looked like if you went and flicked him, it's gonna hurt you,
right?
And that's not everyone has that look nowadays,
that's true. Yeah, which leads into the other type, sarcoplasmic hypertrophy, which is increasing the amount of contractile proteins in the muscle fiber, which increases the size. And with that comes an increase of like fluid and, water and all that stuff. So it makes it more puffy and it holds more carbs and water and like other nutrients. So it's like filling up the muscle, basically.
So the size of the muscle increases?
Yes, not just like the amount of proteins and density of it, the actual fullness of it increases.
This was one of my favorite bro science things from way back in the day that a bunch of lame asses would always do at the gym. Because you'd see these pictures of these, you know, Olympia guys who are huge and big. Right. And was like, well, those aren't functional muscles. They're just big. They're actually not that strong because of yada, yada, yada. And it's like, that is just such a crock of shit.
Mm-hmm. They're strong. And what a lot, another reason they get a bad rep and hypertrophy gets a bad rep is you see people doing half reps, right? Mm-hmm. And we've experimented this ourselves when we've been lifting last month or so.
Oh, we've been doing it a lot recently. We are half reppers, but for good reason.
Yeah, for good reason. Like my coach explained to me, he said, don't train the lift, train the muscle. And that's one of the key elements of hypertrophy is you have to engage the muscle as hard as you can. And those bodybuilders that are really, really big, they are so good at squeezing the muscle really hard. That's why their muscles are huge.
My favorite example from recently is the chest press.
Yeah.
We are not fully extending anymore. We're not even fully racking it to our chest anymore. It's like we're just finding this weird
mid-range.
You go from 20% to 80%, just bouncing there, and it sucks. But it's hitting the chest. It's like my shoulder's no longer involved, my elbow's not straining, and I'm not able to rest at the top. And it's creating this much more focused, intelligent way of doing the movement because I just thought
it's safer too.
It is safer. It's great. I love it because my shoulders are one of my bigger problems. But it's just I think that there's things are changing again, as things always do in fitness. It's just like half reppers are losers. If you're sweating, you're a loser. It's like, no, there's a methodology here.
There's a method, there's a need for it in certain times in certain areas. Yeah.
I see you quietly wanting to open your blender bottle.
I do want
to just open it. Just do it. Just break the seal.
I'm
so proud of you for not. And for those of you that don't know, Wes has gotten in trouble in the past for tapping his mic, so he's very afraid of incurring my wrath now with any noise.
Well, you do have to spend the hours editing, so I'm trying to be as courteous as I can.
Oh no, you're good. I appreciate it. That was I go insane.
Yeah, guys, got to get my meals in. You know. If I'm trying to win this the hard way with muscle gain, you know, I got to keep eating.
So with the hypertrophy is, so we have the myobrilic and fibrillic and the sarcoplasmic.
Yes.
Do these things happen in tandem or do you have to do something different to have each happen?
So some people say that you can get both by doing failure sets in the proper rep range. You know, it's like if you're in 6 to 12 reps hitting failure sets at your working capacity, then you should engage at least one of those. That's why failure training is popular for, you know, for bodybuilding.
Okay, this wasn't on the agenda, but I want to talk about rep ranges because I feel like they're one of the most misunderstood things on earth. It's like, okay, if you do 5 reps, that makes you big and strong. If you do between 8 and 12 reps, that's what makes you lean and big. If you do anything over 13, you turn into a man. That's across the board, ladies. Don't go past 13. You will become a man.
Yeah, if you do hypertrophy range reps, your shoulders are automatically going to look like cannibals. You're done. Screwed.
It's over. But that's sort of how it feels. Is these people have a very hard lines on rep range. Like, this is what this many means.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's more... I don't think it's that cut and dry because I think it's more like where does your body respond best? You know, if you are feeling, and what I mean is like getting that extreme squeeze and fatigue in the muscle somewhere between 6 and 12. That's why that's a lot of room to move. 6 and 12 reps.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
You know, you can be like a low rep kind of lifter where you really feel an engagement and you can be hitting sets of 6 to 8 at failure. And that's really tearing up your muscle.
Yeah.
Or you could be like, oh, I need at least 10 reps, sometimes 12.
Okay, see, that's nice to hear because personally, I live in the low rep range. I love it. I can do a lot of weight and feel great, feel awesome all day.
Yeah.
But where I develop, unfortunately for me, is the high rep range where it starts feeling like cardio, but that's what my body is most receptive to.
Maybe that's where just has it to feels the most intensity in the muscle. Yeah.
And maybe that's genetics. I don't know. Maybe I'm from a sprinting people, but... High weight, low volume, love it all day, and it's comfortable. Slightly lower weight, higher volume is where I really feel the breakdown, and that's when I develop.
Right. And then everyone's been telling me, I haven't really been doing this until recently, but I've always heard from, like, a lot of the coaches and big bodybuilders that I've trained with in the past, and they've said that legs always need a little bit more volume. You know, like sets of 15, sets of 20 sometimes.
Well, I buy that because legs, I mean, assuming you're not someone who sits in a desk, assuming you're not like completely atrophied in your legs.
Yeah.
Your legs are made to be in constant motion.
True.
So if you're not hitting a higher volume, like your legs are going to rebound super quickly. That just seems to be completely intuitive to how legs work. You want to like push a little bit further because
right.
your legs are ready for that. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. So if you do like higher rep ranges, you're hitting like those 12 to 15, something crazy. By the time you're at the end of it, your legs are finally going to be like, oh, wow, this guy's not playing.
Yeah, man. I really feel them blow up when we do like a set of 15 or set of 20 on like leg press or leg extension. That was always hit me pretty hard.
Yeah, dude. What was the workout called? I don't remember, but it was front squats and it was sets. It was eight sets of eight, I want to say. And I hated it, but I got so strong. I got faster at running. I was able to like climb things faster. I could jump higher. Like literally it was just, I don't know why they focus front squats so much. I don't think it really matters, but it was just that high range, like the high weight, squat count, can't words, but that was just, it was incredible what it did for me.
Yeah. Front squats are brutal. They train so many muscles.
Dude. And well, would that be considered, we're talking about a progressive overload next. Yep. Would that fall under progressive overload?
Well, it could, if it could be like a marker of where you're at. Well, we can get deeper into this, especially when you get into powerlifting, on how you can build up progressively between, like, say you're trying to increase your squat strength.
5-3-1 all day.
Close time. Windler method every time, even after your injury.
So what is progressive overload?
So progressive overload is lifting more weight or more reps, and we'll get back to that, than you did the previous time.
It seems so intuitive. I feel like that's what you should be doing anyways, right?
It's what you should be doing. And a lot of people will like approach their workouts like, I just need to get as many reps as I did last time or as much weight. But if you're not trying to add weight or add reps to the bar, then you'll eventually stagnate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have something to say about that.
Yes.
Because I'm going to step on my podium for a moment.
Yes.
Because I actually always forget that there are people out there who are like that, where they just say, like, yeah, I just want to hit the number I hit last time. Mm-hmm. No, it's right. not going to work. You're not going to grow. You're not going to get stronger.
It's the wrong mindset.
You have to have this competitive hunter mentality against yourself, and you kind of have to be chasing, like, the pink dragon and start abusing yourself a little bit, because I feel anyone who plays sports already gets it.
Right.
You could be playing competitive video games and you get it. Some people just never
watch a Gatorade commercial.
I know, right? It's just, if you have ever competed against other people, take that and bring it into the gym. Because if you're not doing that to yourself in the gym, you're just not going to, it's not going to work.
Right. It's the wrong way to approach your workouts because you aren't pushing for progress.
Which I'm sure is a trainer. A lot of people come in and they already have that mindset. To like they came to you, so there's a part of them that says, "I want to get better." But I'm sure some people show up and they're like, "I want to get better, but I also don't like doing the thing."
Yeah, they put in the work in some areas, but they don't have the drive or, I guess, automatic intensity or innate intensity that some people do.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can learn it. And I've seen people, I've learned how to control it better myself, but it's like, you almost have to get into a non grounded state.
Like, do you mean like cocky?
Not cocky. I just mean like, you know, you have to kind of get a little, animalistic with it, you know, to like angry into a set where you're, you know, not just a composed, chill
frame. Yeah, you have to like accept your inner barbarian.
Yeah, you kind of do. You have to get
we were just talking about that with squatting, that you know an individual who, when they squat, they always look comfortable.
Right. You can't be looking like you're having a good time when you're squatting.
You need to get to a point where you feel like you might die. Not necessarily, but it shouldn't be comfortable. It is an inherently uncomfortable thing to lift and progress.
Yes, that's, you can't achieve high or progressive overload without that mindset.
So what to you is an appropriate speed for your overloads? Like what, how, like every single, I mean, every single week, every single month, like how should you be increasing? Obviously you're going to plateau as you get stronger, but in the early game, what are we looking at?
So, and this will lead into our intensity builders when we run out of adjustments to make progressively. Mm-hmm. But basically what you do is say let's just stick with bench press. That one's easy. We already established our rep range is 6 to 12 reps. Now from there, you want to try and take your last couple sets of, you know, after you're done building up and getting ready, getting warm, you want to take your last couple sets where you're hitting as many reps as you can within 6 to 12. Say you get 8. Boom. You got 8 that week. Now, the next week you come in, you have to get more.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're in the lower half of that rep range, I think that adding more reps is the best move because you're like, oh, I only got 8. It's more than 6, but I can still get like 10 or 12.
So increase reps before you increase weight.
Yes, because you have room to increase. You know, you have up until 12. Now, say you get 10. You know, next week you come back, you get 10 reps at 8, and you're like, wow, I beasted that. I might have been able to get like 11 or 12 if I had a spot. Then from there, you could be like, okay, I'm either going to try and get 12, or that felt great. I'm going to go heavier next time.
Okay.
That's how I would set it up.
Okay. And that's where it's good to have good gym partners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I obviously as a guy, I can only speak from my experience. It's always nice to have like your gym bro who's just being like that's pathetic. Like, yeah. You put on more. You could have done more.
Yeah, you could have easily.
I mean, you've seen me. I literally stand above you, and it's just like,
I'm not helping you.
If he dies, he dies.
It's like, you better get that rep. I'm not spotting you.
Yeah, it's going to happen. You're going to make it happen. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to let you die.
Yeah.
Unless you die. But, you know,
I deserve it.
I don't know exactly, you know, how girls are supportive to each other because I'm not a girl, and most of the girls who've been supportive for me were pretty mean to me because we were training running.
Yeah.
And like, actually, yeah, I got bullied a lot when we were running in the early army. But
they're like, why are you here?
Okay, honestly, like, are you even trying? It's like, yes. Like, dude, you get some cardio going and they're faster than you.
They're lighter too.
Oh, man. I've had circles run around me. But I mean, for girls, guys, it's just like holding the person you're with like accountable, because if that's one of those things that kind of bothers me is if you're not like watching if you have a committed partner's growth, and like you should kind of know what they can do, just have an idea. You don't even know their exact
numbers. Know what they look like when they got like 2 reps left in the
exactly
tank.
That's what I do with you. Like I know exactly. You mentally quit frequently on your sexual last sets, but I'm like, that's you're not actually done.
And
for you, like for me, like I mentally quit before I even get to the building.
It's all mindset, right?
So basically, I like that you said that, don't raise the weight, raise the reps, because I feel like that increases safety.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the ego lifting comes from putting weight on.
You're like, oh, I got 6. Next week, I'm going to try and up the weight. It's like, bro, you only got 6. It's like, you should at least try and be able to get 10 before you up the weight again.
You could probably get away with that for a while.
Right.
But it's nasty, especially when you have like a spot. Most of us have seen that time where like some guy drops the bar and gets stuck under it. God forbid he dropped it on his face or his neck. And it's just
yelling for help.
Yeah, right. But it's just, you know, raise the reps. And then by the time you move up to the next step, you're even more ready to go. So obviously it's probably less satisfying for a lot of people. You really want to see the weight go on the bar. But I think it builds a much better foundation.
It is.
As far as like your core, your accessory muscles,
your technique,
those things all develop, and then you're basically set up for less likely for injury, probably more growth in the reality of the situation because you're not going into overtraining.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, even this, it's a very well-designed system, but even this is not perfect because eventually you'll come to an overtrained state regardless. You can't always add reps and weight to the bar.
Yeah.
Because eventually your form's going to break down or you're going to go to Snap City.
Well, we've talked about doing deloads and how we don't do them, but you always need to kind of take a break.
You deload or you add intensity builders. That's the other thing you can do to continue to make progress. You know, like if you, for example, that's where a good spotter comes into play. If you're getting 8 and then the next week you still get 8 and you're like, oh man, I'm supposed to be adding weight or adding reps, but I can't without, you know, really kicking my shoulder out and having bad form. So what you do is you get 8, but you have your spotter help you get 2 more forced reps.
The forced reps are big, and they're obviously you can't really do them by yourself.
Right.
But I guess that does bring us to intensity builders. So we got the forced reps.
Yes.
Which are, as you said, you basically just give them like those fingers a little bit. You just like, if they're squatting,
minimum help.
You give them a little bit under the armpits. If they're benching, you just give them a little bit of a pull. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. But it's moral of the story is like they're taking like 20-30% of it off for right. you.
Just enough. I would say like if you're helping them get like more than three reps, then you might want to like help them a little bit more, like mm-hmm. help them finish the rep. They'll control the negative. But if they're like only need to get two more, barely help them get them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how
at that point it's more mental because they feel like they have the help.
Right. Yeah. I need that mental help sometimes.
You like, know, honestly, I don't really touch
it. It adds like 15 pounds to my list every time.
It just you feel safer.
Yeah.
And then it kind of feels like it's not like you're held as accountable for it, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
What was the other one?
We got drop sets.
Drop sets. That's what I meant. Pause. Wow. I got there eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk drop sets.
These are things you can do if you don't have a spot and you can't do forced reps.
But it's so much better to have a spotter when you have drop sets.
Oh, it is. It is. Especially like if you're doing like a row and you know, you're pulling the plates and all of a sudden you finish instead of like standing up.
Yeah,
pulling the pin out, your spotter could just change it real quick.
Well, see, for me, it's bench press. Like doing drop sets on like a bench or something mm-hmm. by yourself, it's like you're basically running around circles. And if you don't use I use clips pretty much exclusively, so mm-hmm. that's just my way of doing things. But yeah, so you're pushing. Like let's actually the rows are the easy example. Go ahead and build on that.
Okay, so we're doing a drop set, right? And you have your building sets, getting up to your working weight. Once you're there, you take the set to failure where you can't do a full rep of rows anymore without it, you know, looking like a shrug.
So we'll say it's like we're starting at 100.
Yeah. So
100 is your heavy set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do 100. You take that set to failure. Then what you do is you drop it all the way down. Then you pull the pin out. And I like going two plates, okay. Not just one because I only get like five reps.
So that'd be like 80.
Yeah. So drop down to 80. Go back out it, get failure again. Now, what I like to do is when I set these up, I like to hit failure more than 6 reps every time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you can push it to like 15 or a little bit higher than the 12 mark. But if you're getting 6 reps on your first one, then it's too heavy. You're only going to get like 2 or 3 on the next one.
Yeah. And that's my problem is I have a severe tendency to overdo it on my first set mm-hmm. and I lose all the gas in the tank. And it's just like, you know, if you just not been a jackass on that first one
yeah.
and dropped a little bit more, it's because even that one where you're like, have like 10 pounds on there and you're just like whipping them,
yeah.
going, like the blood flow and just the breakdown that's happening. Cause I don't think you realize what's going on inside of your body is like your body has literally, you are failing.
Yeah. It's like maxed out.
And that small amount is, it's wreaking havoc in there, and that's such a good spot to be in.
Right. Yeah, that's the stimulus that's going to send the best signal to grow muscle.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that I like doing actually 2 drops usually. You know, unless it's like something like a small muscle group like biceps or shoulders, I'll do at least 2 drops.
2 drops. I've been known to do 4 to 5 even, mm-hmm. and that was only because back in the day when I was really heavy lifting – those are all accessories that are lower anyways. I was always shocked from whatever I'd done anyways.
Like what lifts?
So let's see. If I like had deadlifted already, mm-hmm. like doing pull downs,
okay.
I do my regular pull down. And I just like, and literally I would drop it until I basically had no weight.
Damn.
I would just keep going. And okay. Just, like by that point, it was basically just like, you know, like arm pumping, like, just, like moving your hands up and down because it's like 5 pounds. But just that consistent movement over and over and over and over and over. I think people forget that the reason you grow muscles is because you're tricking your mind into thinking that you're in situations where you will die without them.
Yes. Survival.
Your body says, hey, numbnuts here keeps getting into situations where he needs to climb. So we need to build more muscle with the nutrients provided mm-hmm. so that he can be better at climbing.
Right.
So that's why you build muscle. So it's like, I would just put myself under like severe pressure in doing that. And that would, and I felt like it was really successful for me. I thought it was really good for the supporting muscles at least.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's that type of stimulus, that failure stimulus and volume, for sure going to be mm-hmm. sending a good signal. Yeah, you did it right there, man.
Yeah, dude. It was great.
You know, a lot of common usages of, like, the high volume, the multiple sets, drop sets is, like, a lot of people do that on lateral raises. I'm sure you've seen people do it on lateral raises.
Yep.
Bicep curls, too, is another one.
Curls is a great one to do it on. Curls is great because, as we know, I have little baby biceps. but the drop sets for biceps are so good.
They're doing so, like the run the rack all the way down.
Dude, I try not to do that. I try not to do that mostly because A, they're never in the correct order in the first place, and B, I feel like there's always someone who needs something and they're watching.
You're always kind of an asshole.
You're an asshole. You do it. It's just, I like doing it with the cables, preferably.
Yeah, it's more of a courteous thing to do.
I feel like I can't be that guy. I've seen that guy, and I'm like, oh, I hate that guy. I don't want to be him.
You know, go to LA Fitness, start at the 35s, run all the way down the rack in front of everyone.
Yeah, just everyone will love you. I promise. Do it.
Right.
What was another one of the intensity builders? There's one more.
Okay, the last one is a rest pause, and this one's been my favorite lately. We've done.
Wait,
a
we're just talking
these, right?
About like pause squats, pause press. Are you talking about when you go and you get like 30 seconds to chill?
How I've been doing lately is like 10 to 12 inhaling breaths.
Oh, so like you do your set,
you take you clear your lungs 10 to 12 times, which helps buffer lactic acid, mm-hmm. and then you hit it again to failure.
Same weight.
Yep. So like, let's use leg press, for example. This is a good one.
Okay.
You know, so you work up to, you know, your working weight, however many sets that takes. And then from there, you're like, okay, since it's legs, I need to get at least 10 to like 15 reps, you know, for this, because legs needs a little bit more attention, more volume. So you go on there, you got like 5 plates on each side, you get 12 reps barely without, you know, having to rack it or yeah. your spotter helping you. Then drop your legs down, breathe 12 times, put your legs back up, do one more set to failure.
That almost sounds like what I would be doing if I didn't have my cell phone at the gym.
Yeah, if it's like, oh, you're not like scrolling or changing songs.
Now it's like, well, I'm bored now, so might as well go again.
Right. So that's like what you do at the end. I feel like it works really well on machine type exercises or like, you know, if you don't have a spotter on certain dumbbell stuff, because yeah. you could just do it a little. Sometimes you need a spotter, like on a press, you need a spotter.
Yeah.
But I think that also another thing that helps is if you're a beginner at this, or you're not super advanced and haven't been doing this for years, then you only need like one rest pause per muscle group.
Yeah.
But if you're like someone who's made some serious gains, that added like, you know, muscle over years to their body, you might need up to 3 rest pauses per exercise.
Okay.
So it really increases.
Well, these are all intensity builders, are really all meant to be like plateau breakers.
Right. Yes. So. Yeah. You don't use this on a straight set. You use it on something that you're trying to like increase your strength or endurance on.
Okay. That's, I think that's going to be something that everyone experiences at some point. So it's mm-hmm. just, it's good to know to have those. They're
tools, right?
They're tools, just for the case.
Yeah.
Let's see. Volume training?
Yeah, volume training.
Volume training.
You've been doing some volume training.
Yeah, I hate it.
I mean, I feel like you went from volume training to, or from like low reps, high weight to volume training, and it was a little bit of a shock, wasn't it?
It was bad. Not good. I mean, recently I've been doing it mostly just because I can't do that much weight, but it's also, like we talked about, I went from like living in the low rep range to going to the high, and it's a lot more difficult. It's more tiring. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it besides the fact that you basically ask more, and I have an ego of my own, so I don't go down in weight that much, mm-hmm. but
it's a different mindset for sure.
It is a different mindset. It's more of a chase. It's more of a chase mindset instead mm-hmm. of like a kill. It's not yeah, like, it is. Like knock it out. Boom, 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 done.
Right.
It's, we have a place we need to go,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a hard ride.
Yeah, it's an uphill ride for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think one issue that people have going from low to high rep ranges is they try and take every set with too high of an RPE, rate of perceived exertion.
Yeah, they'll say, you better explain that. It goes from 1 to 10.
Yes.
A 1 is, this is super easy.
You're laying in bed, it's a 1.
Exactly. And then a 10 is basically saying, I could not do one more of this if I tried.
Yes.
And then a 9 is like, I could do probably one more. An 8 is, I could probably do 2 more, and so on and so forth.
Most of your exercises is between 6 and 9.
Yeah. I don't pay attention to that as much as I probably should, but... Because I always have a tendency to go a little bit too high, especially on my first workout. And then, like, after I've, like, realized, like, okay, this isn't going to work for the whole workout.
It's like, I got, like, 4 more chest exercises. Like,
this isn't going to work. And then I basically bring it down a little bit. But, yeah, that's when you're doing the volume training, your RPE goes down
mm-hmm.
because you have to have something in the tank for the next one.
Right. Yeah, it's more like getting, that's more like what people call pump training. You know, it's, you're going a little bit faster, mm-hmm. you're squeezing the muscle, you're trying to just go for like intensity in the muscle and reps, where, you know, when you're doing low rep training, you're going for more like trying to hit heavier weights.
It's kind of like that fast twitch, slow twitch muscle deal.
Right.
Instead of just being like boom, explosive, you're trying to get like a nice strong cadence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the progressive overload people hate on the volume training. And, you know, they both have good arguments like, mm-hmm. oh, one's sarcoplasmic is more for the volume training and myofibrillic is more for the progressive overload, which there is a little bit of research that supports that. But what I've heard and what I'm actually doing right now is I'm trying to combine a little bit of both.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't do both.
Yeah.
It just kind of... It seems counterintuitive to be in like one camp or the other on this one. It goes back to that. It's a toolbox thing.
Right. Yeah. Use it how, you know, adaptively in your training, you know, use more of it and some at some points and more of it in other points. And it's like, I feel like if, as long as you are keeping the two pillars, you know, hitting the rep range and hitting the sets to failure where you are increasing progressively, whether that's through forced reps or through, you know, manipulating your weight or rep range.
Okay.
So I think that's gonna enough to check the block as far as it being a positive hypertrophy session.
It just, yeah, the whole being on one side or the other for like overload or volume, it's like saying like, I only like nails. I only like screws. I'm team screws. Like, that's dumb. Like, that's just like, they both have purposes. So it's just
right.
Like, have one or the other. You talked about today, I learned a word, or at least a phrase, CNS fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
You want to run that by me one more time? Because apparently I'm gonna forget.
Central nervous system fatigue. So that's like, you know, you have your parasympathetic and your, what's the other one? Your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic. I think those are the two.
Your nervous system is very sympathetic.
It's like your fight or flight. Is, I believe, your parasympathetic. I'm sure I'm messing at least some of this up, guys, so
yeah, no worries.
Don't hate on me too much. But basically, you have your nervous system, your autonomic, and your sympathetic nervous system.
You found
that
it.
That it is. Boom. Yeah, and like when the what people call the lizard part of your brain, your lizard brain takes over, that's when you go into like your instinctual type, you know, very strong emotion and, you know, stimulus-driven mm-hmm. behavior. That part gets activated when you hit those failure sets. And in, like, I would say CrossFit and bodybuilding, those two sports have more of a CNS stimulating fatigue than any other sport because they're hitting multiple sets to failure every mm-hmm. day. Like five, six days a week. And you've seen the memes. It's like, you know, oh, hitting squats again today. And, you know, it shows them putting the chicken into the fryer.
Yeah.
Like, that's your central nervous system.
Yep.
Every time you hit a failure set.
So that versus muscular failure, which is just exactly what you think it is. It's like, my muscles are sore because they were worked.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have a potentially... Does that have potentially more ramifications if you don't take care of that as far as, like, you yep. know, resting?
Absolutely. I mean, muscular fatigue, you usually get an over-fatigued state of your muscles, which eventually leads to CNS fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lot of people will think that, oh, I'm getting sore. You know, they're like, no days off. Team no days off. That's an issue because... Eventually, your body will get used to working out those muscles every day. You're not going to, like, die, and they're not going to fall off. So it's like you can continue to be part of team no days off, but eventually your central nervous system is going to take too many hits, and you're going to get CNS fatigue, which can result in, like, getting sick or having, like, you know, even organ shutdown at the extreme levels.
Oh, wow. So your body is literally not coping.
No, it keeps getting stimulated and doesn't recover.
Okay.
So that is a risk that I would say 90% of us don't have to worry about, but those mm-hmm. team no days off people sometimes will reach that state.
Yeah, I think team no days off, and we've all done it at least once, but I feel like it's so if you are at least eating enough mm-hmm. and sleeping enough, should you at least be safer from team no days off CNS death?
Yes, I mean, that and you add like couple cc's of testosterone, and I'm sure, you know, that's where the Team No Days Off comes from, bro.
Yeah.
If I were to be honest, like, those guys who are eating like an athlete and also supplementing with drugs have a lot more recovery than someone who's just trying to be functional.
So as we have learned over and over again, all of our heroes are not natty, and we should make sure we're careful about trying to be like them.
Sad world. You know, they just like to eat, Glenn, train hard, and Anavar give up.
Well, let's come full circle on your super official trainer ideas on basics for bodybuilding, hypertrophy overloads, and volume training. What do you think is the general high and low of what people should be doing to make sure they're doing that?
Okay, so
more corrector.
Oh yeah, what I think people should do is they should structure their workouts where their first like compound lifts, which is like, for example, in chest day, it'd be your incline bench and your flat press. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those type motions. Those two should be geared towards progressive overload, where you're trying to, like, within the proper rep range, beat your lifts or numbers from last time. And then you can, yeah, if a spotter, even better. Then the rest of the workout, I believe, especially the accessory work, should be focused on hitting more of like a volume type where you're not getting much rest and recovery and you're fatiguing the muscle, you know, over time under tension.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I think that's how I do things already right now.
So, and that's how I've...
Maybe you're rubbing off on me.
Maybe I'm building your workouts.
What? What? Yeah. So we did talk briefly about squatting and how you should appear to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a moment where we discuss booty building and leg training.
Yes.
And how to best do that, because as we know, 50% of the population does have a preference to doing leg workouts, and then the other 50%
legs
pretends that it's not important,
right?
But they should care.
They should care. Yeah, don't skip leg day, even though I look like I skip leg day sometimes.
Well, and okay, fun fact, everyone. Wes has way stronger legs than me, but my legs are way nicer than his.
Yes.
And
why?
That comes down to genetics, because I am a
thanks,
fraud.
Dad. Thanks, Dad.
I am a total fraud when it comes to legs. So, but everyone else, I feel like you have more hope than Wes to grow your legs.
Man, they're just like, I have long calf bones.
Yeah, your shins are long.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it other ways. It
just spreads out all that, what little muscle is there. Okay, so booty building and leg training. I'm actually pretty good at it. I mean, if you take a look at my Instagram, that's mainly what I feel like we advertise in our mission.
I mean,
would you disagree?
I can't disagree, because because I feel there's two types of training advertising. You either advertise to like older people, you advertise to guys who like want to be hua military e,
yeah,
or you say like, hey, we're here to make your life better or grow your butt.
Yep.
And that kind of is a catch-all for everybody,
and that's like most of the clientele out there is that gen pop, like, I want to, you know, have some nice legs and a thick booty because it's the Kardashian look. So yeah. That's most of the people out there who
Except
want training.
Real.
Yeah, it's not real. But yeah, basically what a lot of people neglect in booty training or in glute training is they don't do the big lifts. They don't do deadlifts. They mm-hmm. don't do hip thrusts, and they don't do squats. They do the ones they see on Instagram, you know, the flashy.
Oh, God, the freaking
leg raising.
Like the donkey kicks, and they have all these what are they called, resistance bands,
hip thrusting,
yeah,
booty, no. Whatever. No. Yeah, I mean, those are fun to do at the end of the workout.
Yeah, they do something, they just don't do it.
They shouldn't just do that. Or the sideways walking on the fucking stair mill, that's another one that I think is misleading to people.
I never really understood that one in the first place, so
yeah, it's just I think what most of the women that I've trained, that I've shown them that you have to hit those big lifts first and lift them with intensity and progression, similar mm-hmm. to how we talked about. And that's going to do more progress for building a booty than all those other ones that you do after combined.
Okay.
Combined, those first two lifts.
So those tips that we gave on training hypertrophy.
Yes.
Translated to deadlifts, squats, and
hip thrusts.
Hip thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
are where we're looking at for the actual real success.
Yeah, that should be, that's where you get about 85% of your progress. And then the rest of the workout, when you do your faster, supersetted, where you're doing like those lateral lunges, leg raises, and abductions with the bands, all those fancy Instagram glute exercises, that covers like the rest of the 15 of the progress you'll make.
Yeah. And I mean, doing the other leg exercise is good too, because it keeps you from having like the pencil leg weird butt thing going on, like lunges and doing all the sides. Right. It's good. It's good. You should do it.
You don't want to look like a Bug's Life. Sorry.
Apparently, I don't know. I haven't seen it on Instagram. Maybe you do. And I think outside of the gym, eat something.
Protein focused.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think that's a
Whole
big
foods.
Thing. That's a big thing with the leg. Even for guys, actually for guys too, because your legs, especially if you're a runner, they famish away quick, man. Your body pulls from your thighs and butt. That is like almost exclusively why.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reserve. Your stomach, your thighs, your butt are where your body is going to pull from. So even if you have, you're pretty lean, the first place you're going to start losing muscle is going to be like in your legs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your legs are going to shrink fast if you're not training them intensely, especially if you're dieting. Mm-hmm. So like all those girls who are restricting calories and not doing squats they're losing their butt before they lose their fat sometimes.
Oh, my God, Becky.
Yeah, that's not, no one's looking at that butt if that's the case.
Yeah, I think it's funny how intuitive that is, especially with how much stuff on the internet there is about like, this is my booty building plan. It's like, well, no, let me tell you what, as a female, you have wider hips and more prominent glute muscles than males. If you work those, they're going to get pretty big.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
They will. I mean, I've seen significant progress that people have made by, you know, focusing on just the fundamentals. I swear. It's like those Instagram models out there who are showing you those flashy, like, kicking exercises for your glutes. Yep. I promise you, they did their sets of squats and deadlifts first.
Yep.
And then they just didn't show you because they're not flashy.
They're not flashy.
Yeah.
Oh, fun fact. Butt and leg muscles burn the most fat in the body.
Oh, yeah. And they store the most carbs, so you'll get depleted faster.
Yep. That is something that I need to get back on my leg bullshit again, because that's the easiest way to lose weight. If you got big legs, you're going to stay leaner. Promise.
There's a new trend in contest prep coaching where people are doing legs twice a week, even when they don't have to.
I've heard of that.
Because it doesn't overtrain your upper body. And like, you know, if you're hitting three upper body days already, you're taxing your upper body in a deficit for sure. And then two, it burns more calories and fat, just like you said. So it's like some of these, you know, competitors, even the physique guys who don't get judged on their legs, are doing it twice a week to, you know, get the
calorie burn of it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I think we've covered everything. A little bit of a quicker one today.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find us at BNS_radio on Instagram. We are now on pretty much every podcasting site you can go to. So Apple, Spotify, Google Play. I don't know. What are the other ones? I don't know. Simple,
all the big ones. If you don't have one of those three, then yeah, what are you doing?
You're weird.
What are you doing?
You're weird. But also, if you messaged me and say you want it there, I'll get it there because customer service. You can reach me at Dimitri Sebastian on Instagram.
And you can reach me at WKendall_MFT on Instagram. Also, we are looking for a graphic designer.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're with us this far and you know someone who's got some skills to help us design like a shirt and hat logo, then hit us up, please. Comment or share or let your friend know. And we would like your help. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.